Hey everybody, you are listening to the Accelerate Performance Lab podcast, hosted by Accelerate's Director of Experimental Science and Social Media Manager, Riley Witt. You are about to hear from some of the world's leading experts in sports performance and human optimization. From elite scientists to world-class coaches, this is the place to be to accelerate your performance. So, as always, sit back, buckle up, enjoy the ride. Here we go.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Accelerate Performance Lab podcast. I'm your host, Riley Witt, and today I have a very special guest joining us today. She's an exceptional runner hailing from Iowa State, where she's made her mark both on the track and in cross country. Kiki Connell's running career began at Charles City High School, where she left quite the mark by setting, I'm just going to say, basically every school record she could have. Her exceptional performances caught the attention of UNI and Iowa State, where she continued to shine as a two-time all-conference Big 12 athlete in the steeplechase. In cross country, she achieved the prestigious honor of being named MVC All-Conference Athlete. With impressive personal bests of 10 minutes and 19 seconds in the steeplechase, a swift 4 minutes and 49 seconds in the full mile, and a solid 21 minutes and 20 seconds in the 6K for cross country. And aside from the times, she boasts a perfect balance between athletic excellence and dedication to her studies with a perfect 4.0 and a prestigious award of Academic All-American. Today, I have the privilege of delving into Kiki's running journey and really just learning about what makes her the runner she is. So without further ado, let's welcome Kiki Connell to the podcast. I know we have a little bit, different relationship than most people that are on the podcast. So I really want this podcast to be a little bit different and maybe go a little bit deeper and just not touch on quite the surface level things that I normally would talk about. So you ready to do this thing?
I think I'm ready to do this thing. I think we've been preparing for a while, so.
Yeah, if everybody could see our setup here, I should probably make sure everything is actually going. Now everything is. Yeah, it was a chunk of work because normally I just zoom in. So I guess we just had the privilege of not zooming in for this one. So the setup was a little bit more tedious.
It would almost be easier if we did zoom in, but yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, we did think about, that was one of our options, just to zoom in, just literally sitting across from each other, and that probably would have worked a little bit better, but we're here, and hopefully the quality is, I guess, it'll be as good as it can be. Switching gears, we're going to jump right into it. I want to start with more of a, you can take this question really any way you want to. This question could be quite philosophical if you really take it that way, or it could just be like a super simple answer. And I'm excited to see how you you take this. But why do you run? Why does Kiki Connell run?
Yeah, I think that this question could have been answered very differently in different points in my life and in my career. As a high schooler, as a middle schooler, I think we all kind of seek after something that you're good at. And I really enjoyed the training that went into running. And it was something that just kind of came naturally to me. And my siblings also had done it in the past. But this version of Kiki, here and now, I think that I have really figured out that it's something that I find joy in, and it's my God-given potential and ability is in this sport. God has given me a work ethic to compete at this level, and I take it as kind of an opportunity to make friendships as well as this is kind of my mission field. It's kind of where my assignment is.
Okay, you said that you enjoy it, you think you had a gift for it, but like I knew you in high school. You did four sports all 4 years in high school. Mm-hmm. You were very good at wrestling. You were very good at softball. You were good at everything you did. Why did you choose specifically putting one foot in front of the other?
Yeah, I think that was a difficult decision. And I think at different points in high school, you could have caught me and, oh, I'm going to go and play softball in college, or I'm going to wrestle in college. But truly, it kind of goes back to what I said before of I found so much joy in the training that you put into it. It's so much fun to be able to lace up your shoes and go on a gravel road by yourself and say that that's your practice facility for the day. And so I've just really always had that enjoyment of the training has always brought me so much joy, whether I'm running with people or running by myself.
What do you think it is about running that you enjoy the most?
Oh gosh, I've always enjoyed all of the friends that I've made through the sport. I feel like that's kind of a cliche answer that you get from a lot of people, But just as I've grown older, I've realized that whatever you're doing, that's where you're kind of going to find your people. And this sport has brought me a lot of amazing people.
For sure. Running is one of those sports where, I don't know, it just seems like there's something about it that the people are just a little different.
Yeah.
Going back, more so when you started, when did you realize you actually had a talent for this sport and it's something that you wanted to pursue?
Yeah, I kind of had an understanding that you weren't just going to show up on day one of cross country season and, you know, be winning meets. I have an older brother who also ran, and so I understood that summer training was step one rather than in most sports where you show up on the first day. So I'd say in seventh grade, I kind of understood that, okay, this is not something that I'm going to just willy-nilly go on to do. I want to take this very seriously. And so I started putting in miles. I think I hit 125 miles or something like that. And so it wasn't exactly that I found that I had a talent for it. It was something that brought me so much joy. I'd say that over the other sports that I did, that was kind of where I started to realize that the success came a little bit more easily to me. I'd say probably in eighth grade was when I had that realization.
Let me clarify so people aren't completely confused. That was 125 miles, probably within the 3 month summer. That was not within a short period of time.
No.
Yeah, no, that's pretty common among runners. It's one of those sports where you don't necessarily enjoy it right when you begin, mm-hmm. and it you have to have an in sort of in the sport. You have to have a friend doing it. You have to have a parent who kind of pushes you into it. And then once you start succeeding a little bit, I think that's where kind of some of the joy comes from. Mm-hmm. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I want to know more about your high school journey and just the story throughout high school, because you were from not a huge running community in high school or anything, but you were in 3A, which, if people know the time era you were in high school, 3A was pretty loaded just about mm-hmm. every year you were in it. So
Shawai Johnson, right. Ainsley Arizin, Peyton Noe.
Yeah, you had some talented runners, I guess, when you got to the big stage. It just wasn't so much the case in your normal everyday meet. Mm-hmm. I can kind of relate to that. I want to know what your high school journey was.
Yeah, like I said before, I didn't always think of myself as solely a runner. Not only was I a four-sport athlete in softball, wrestling, track, and cross-country, I was in FFA and orchestra, and I played my violin in the musical, and I did FCA, and I did swimming. So there's a lot of things that were pulling me a lot of different directions, but I always knew that I was going to throw my heart into anything that I did completely. And so I think that that was where my high school story kind of, you can see that as a theme throughout, even in academics as well. But that was kind of where I started to realize that, hey, this is something that I could do in college in order to, you know, earn a scholarship. And I was pretty focused on my education as well, and I can choose a college that is going to help me in my career path. And then my senior year, so I'm an older accelerator. My senior year was the first time I had ever heard about Accelerate or pursued anything with them. My senior year for cross country, I got fourth place behind Shawai Johnson, Peyton Noe, and Ainsley Arizin. Some names that if you're on this podcast, you probably are familiar with. And I saw that and I thought to myself, like, what are they doing that I'm not? Because I really wanted a state title that year and obviously fell short by quite a bit. And so that spring after wrestling season, I decided to get in contact with Ben and Test. And I trained with him from February and then all the way through regular track season. And I PR'd in my 800 by 10 seconds, my 1500 by 20 seconds, and my 3K by 40 seconds. So obviously Accelerate helped me further my career, but it's kind of where my high school story went. And towards the end, it was really exciting to see the work, to have a more clarity of what it took to really push your limits of what you're capable of doing in high school.
Before we get into later on college career and finish up the high school season, I want to be selfish and stay right there for a second and kind of talk about, like, you just said you PR'd by 40 seconds in your 3K, mm-hmm. 20 seconds in your 1500, and 10 seconds in the 800. If you don't know track, that's the equivalent of, I mean, if you're very lucky, mm-hmm. It could be 2 years, 3 years, that could be your high school career. And you did that all within, like you said, you did wrestling during the winter. So you did that within just a few months.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't training specific to running during the winter, that winter either. So,
right, which is quite remarkable to say the least. But I want to stay there for a second. What do you think it was? Do you think it was the community? You think it was the more specific workouts directed to you? What do you think it was that made that difference?
Yeah, I think the second thing you said really makes sense is those workouts directed specifically towards me, because I loved my high school coach, but a lot of things were kind of a lot of by feel. And as a kid who I'm kinesiology and health is my major with an emphasis in physical therapy, that's the track I want to go down. And the science makes sense when you're looking at pages and pages of notes for workouts, if you can back it up by one athlete's specific metabolic demands, obviously you're going to be able to achieve a lot. And so I think that Ben just struck it on the money for the training that I was doing at the time, and I was willing to do it. I think a lot of kind of what Addie touched on recently, the mental strength that it takes as well is very important. And I think that in all of those things encompassing, it just came together at the right time.
And then you ran those times, you got looks at from colleges and stuff. I'm sure you got a few looks, but before that for multiple sports, but I guess running in particular. When it came time to make your decision, how did you go about that? You, like you said, you knew you wanted to go to college for mm-hmm. running in specific, like, and it was COVID year. So that's interesting. I guess that would be such a tough thing to go through, just not being able to go on visits. Mm-hmm. Walk us through that a little bit. Like, you weren't able to actually visit any colleges.
Yeah, that was definitely a difficult thing that I've kind of had to work through as the comparison trap of looking at other people making their decisions. I made my decision right after wrestling season. Just I wanted to get it out of the way. And I thought at the time you and I was the right choice for me. Obviously, that was before I had all these PRs my senior year. And like you said, I didn't get any visits. It was just kind of going with vibes I was receiving from the coach, Zooming with some of the girls. Obviously, I know a little bit about UNI, and I thought that it would be a good fit. All of my siblings went to UNI, so I thought it was the right fit. But it was a really hard decision. I transferred out of UNI after a semester my freshman year, and that was a hard decision. But I think that other people who are my age would really understand that making that college decision with very little information was difficult. But I do not regret my decision at all, and I'm really enjoying Iowa State.
So I guess talking about Iowa State a little bit now, it seems like you're really enjoying it there. You're having a lot of success. What is it that makes Iowa State, that you know that Iowa State's your place?
Yeah, I was looking at Iowa State and Liberty University out in Virginia. They were kind of my two places as I was being a mid-year freshman year transfer. It was kind of a lot to try and figure out in such a short period of time. But I took a visit there in December after I entered the transfer portal. And the second I stepped foot on campus, I felt completely at home. I love the campus. I love the education that was on offer. Every single girl made me feel like I was the right fit for their team. And I love Coach Amy. So all the pieces fell right into place for everything that I needed to safely say yes to running for this school.
See, you were transferring from UNI to Iowa State at semester. Mm-hmm. It's quite the difficult thing to do, for sure. And I know of one other person who did the same thing, and it doesn't typically go super smoothly, but you were able to handle that pretty well. What do you think kind of helped you through that situation?
Yeah, I would definitely say I spent a lot of time talking to family and friends and praying about it. And finally, I actually first decided to stay at UNI before I decided to leave. And once I did take that step, I just felt a weight lift off of my chest. And when I went on my visit, it was just a no-brainer. I didn't really need to look anywhere else because I knew that I was in the right place for me.
So once you finally got transitioned a little bit, you moved all your stuff, both physically and mentally, mm-hmm. like all your baggage was there. You made that transition, mm-hmm. you kind of settled in. You're like, this is my place. I'm going to make a difference here. What is the biggest thing that kind of switched? You obviously performed very well at UNI. You had some big accolades there, even as a freshman, super young in the cross-country scene. But what was the biggest difference maker when it comes to training or lifestyle or kind of just like environmental factors that mm-hmm. that helped you make a little bit more of a jump when you switched to Iowa State?
Yeah, the team aspect of it was just a completely different experience for me. All of these girls that I'm surrounded by are completely invested fully in running and in academics, and that was something that was really important to me. And I just think that that focus really pulls a person along, and having those girls to train with day in and day out was really amazing. I mean, I think one of the big issues was I walked into UNI and I struggled to find training partners. And so I think that having so many girls at Iowa State, where all of a sudden I'm in a training group with five other girls who are about at the same capability as me. And so having all of those girls, and it's a safe environment that it is not cutthroat at all. Everyone is looking for everyone to succeed together. I just think that that really helped me continue to perform at a high level. Trusting the training is something that's huge. And I truly trust Coach Amy. She has so much experience in the sport and has been at it for a really long time. And another thing I think is just finding the joy in the mundane training things. Honestly, one of my favorite days is long run day, because that means I have a longer amount of time to be talking with my friends as we're running down the road at practice. And so that's something that I've really learned. And then another thing would be really training and performing for your teammates. That's something that Kaylee Logue really stresses. And obviously she's had quite the career, just ended at Iowa State, but When she describes how she got done racing, she always says, "I was thinking about my teammates," which is incredible.
It is quite the shift coming from a school that's not really running focused and then going somewhere that, meaning high school to college.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when I was in high school, I was looked at as maybe I'm overtraining. I was running like 50-mile weeks. And sure, you're not always – you don't have to believe what people are telling you. Like, you're overtraining. You're doing too many workouts. Workouts are too hard. You don't have to believe what you're being told, but subconsciously you're kind of taking in some of that and being like, well, maybe I am. Maybe this isn't the right thing for me. And then when you kind of make that step and you see that people, I was running 50 miles a week in high school. There's actually people running 70 miles a week in high school. There's always somebody doing more.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're comparing yourself to other high school athletes that are doing a little bit less, or nothing wrong with that or anything, but they don't have quite the routine that it takes to get to that next level. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're there. They're on their own journey, and they'll find their way that way.
And it's found myself there. I was one of those athletes. I was in northeastern Iowa thinking I was doing everything I could, you know, looking at a state title, hoping that I could do it. All of a sudden, there's three girls who definitely put in far more work than I ever thought was necessary for that accolade.
Yeah, you're going from a school that they think, and you think as well, that that's exactly what you need to do to succeed. It's the same with anything, I guess, in life. It's not this nuanced idea. But when you're at Iowa State, what are some of those things? You said, like, environmental fact, like team, coaches, but littler things, like nutritional changes, training changes, that seems small, but you can tell actually make a big difference.
I think that Iowa State has offered me so much more than just an education and a spot on their team. I think that I am so grateful for the sports dietitian that we have to work with all of the nutritional factors that we have. I guess you said small things. It's not really a small thing. I'm provided with two high quality meals a day, breakfast and dinner. And after a long day of training, I think you can also attest, you do not want to get ready and cook a meal. That is kind of the last thing, especially with homework on your plate and things going on, for me to be able to drive over to the dining hall and have specifically an athlete dining hall where I have some of the best food that I've eaten ever, a restaurant quality, readily provided for me. I mean, that has been probably the biggest small thing. I would also say that an athletic trainer is something that is really important that at the high school level you might not see as quite necessary, because like we said, you might not be training to the point where you need that. But I would say that the athletic trainer that we work with at Iowa State in cross country is probably one of the best in the NCAA. He is absolutely amazing and has kept me healthy my entire career.
Now, those are, like you said, quote, small things, but let's get even smaller. Pre-training ritual, pre-race ritual. Mm-hmm. What are the things that you must do to have a good workout, a good race, something like that?
Yeah, I have some amazing teammates who I've learned from along the way. Like I said, Kaylee Logue, Jeanette Schraft, all of these amazing women who are amazing on the course or on the track, but also off of the track. And so I've learned a lot of things from them. I'd say that nutrition prior to a workout is extremely important, as well as things that I would never think of doing before I got to Iowa State, like taking, say, an hour before you are going to be demanded to be at practice and rolling out, seeing the athletic trainer, maybe putting heat on something, like things that I would never really think to do, but suddenly that's what everyone else is doing. And you do it once and you realize the importance of it, the necessity of it. And also just throughout the day, thinking about what your workout might look like, visualizing you successfully finishing some hard reps and working through things. That's also something I would never do. And I kind of dreaded workout days because I was really nervous about completing things as my coach desired. And once you get over that almost anxious thoughts and just think about yourself crushing it, that was something that really helped me. So kind of that mentality shift and having a positive outlook on workout days.
You touched a little bit on nutrition and how you switched a few things up. Mm-hmm. Is that a big piece? I know I've got some friends that nutrition's kind of just like, it's there. I just need calories and I want calories and mm-hmm. I'm just going to eat whatever. Is nutrition kind of like that where you're like, I don't care, I just want food? Or is it like, I'm going to do every little thing, so mm-hmm. maybe this is something that's going to tip me over the edge? Is it a big deal for you or not so much?
I would say so. I try and look at my plate on different days if I know I'm going to have a workout or a long run, and I kind of change up maybe the ratios of what I'm eating, or on days where I'm recovering. I kind of can tell when I maybe need a little bit more carbs or maybe need a little bit more fats in my diet. And I take it very seriously. I think that's another thing that I'm very passionate about. I've seen other runners not be super careful about that. Jason Gomez is one of the best 800 runners to come out of Iowa State, and he'll eat Wingstop like twice a week and absolutely still dominate the field. And you know what? If that makes you feel great to run, absolutely. There are a little bit of leniencies on like what you can eat. For me, my stomach is really picky, and so I like to make sure that my nutritional piece is something that I don't have to worry about going into a big workout or a big race. So I do take a lot of care and attention to it.
More specifically, before a race, what are you eating?
Oh, okay. I would say the night before, Coach Amy is very adamant about making sure we find some sort of pasta place to eat. Some girls like to have seafood, but I usually do a salad and pasta with some sort of protein on top, whether that be sausage or beef or whatever. And then prior to the race, depending if it's like a weird time, we usually do some sort of sandwich, whether that be like Jersey Mike's or something that's pretty plain, regular sandwich meat and cheese on bread. And then I like to make sure that I'm topping off my carbs. And so whether that be an applesauce or a bagel or something like that, just making sure that I'm going into a race not starving. I compete in some of the higher distance. There's like the middle distance, and then I'm more of the distance events, and I prefer not going to a race hungry. So things like applesauce and a bagel or something like that are really easy on my stomach.
And really, it's more than just nutrition. Sure, you, mm-hmm. you need the food, but really, it's not being digested. Like,
exactly.
I have a teammate who eats before or whatever and then just throws it up. So, like, it's really not doing that much, but mm-hmm. some of it's just mental. Some
yeah.
of it's just having something in your stomach, not feeling hungry, and just not kind of fighting the nerves with food.
Absolutely.
Are there any other ways you go about fighting nerves? Like, you're competing in some pretty big races. How do you kind of calm down a little bit?
Yeah, I definitely in high school struggled with that. You mentioned somebody throwing up. I would work myself up so much before races that I would throw up before races. So I completely can identify with that. Like Addie Dornkamp said, she worked with a sports psych. I also worked with a sports psych just to work through some things that I didn't realize were hindering my performance until they were severely. And so that helped me so much. And just having some mental cues to be able to work through as I'm reaching a harder part of a race, that was really, really helpful. some pre-race things that I do that have really helped me calm my nerves since getting to Iowa State and running on the biggest field that I have ever been on. My team and I, we enjoy spending lots of time together always, but especially before races, you don't really want to be cooped up in a hotel room by yourself. And so I have a teammate who always brings her nail polish. And so we'll all get together and she'll do all of our nails. Or we have a teammate who loves to do makeup. And so she'll do our race day makeup. Just little things like that. And we always have our hair done. I love doing people's hair. So we try and distract ourselves almost in a productive way, gearing up for the race, but also saving all of that energy for positive energy that's going to be going straight into the race.
Where do you turn that switch from kind of distracting yourself, doing something that you're going to take your focus off the race, and then focusing completely? Is that like 10 minutes before, that's it? Or is it a little bit more out? Like, is there a set guideline that you follow that you're like, okay, distract yourself, don't waste too much energy, and then now I'm focused? How do you go about that?
Yeah, it's almost like small doses working up into race time. So I'd say like the morning of, it's not completely off my mind. It's there. I know that it's going to come, and I count down the hours, you know, of until I'm getting closer and closer, and I start visualizing either the night before or the morning of. So I'd say that as we're doing these distracting things, productively distracting things, we're constantly talking about these things and kind of gearing up. Winding it up might be a better terminology. We're winding up, we're getting ready. But we usually go to wherever we're racing about 2 hours out, and that's when it's locked in, ready, go mode. Whether I'm listening to music or talking to a teammate, everything is kind of a little bit more focused of, we know what our assignment is and we know what is going to be asked of us in 2 hours.
You said music and talking and kind of visualization. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you'd use to kind of help you flip that switch of go mode?
Yeah. I am a big proponent of the FCA has a competitor's creed. And so I love reading. And so that's something that also kind of calms me down as well. So if you're a fan of FCA at all and hadn't heard of the competitor's creed, I definitely recommend going and giving it a read. But for me, it's kind of reciting those quotes that might help me lock in, as well as being calm through and finding like peace through the moment. So a stanza in the FCA creed says, "I am the Lord's warrior, a competitor by conviction and a disciple of determination. I am confident beyond reason because my confidence lies in Christ. The results of my efforts must result in his glory." And so I think that little piece right there has really taught me that I can be confident and I can find joy in this. And there's absolutely no reason for me to stress myself out to the point that I start to not enjoy it anymore.
Getting more towards the end of this podcast, it seems like we've just been talking for a couple of minutes here, but you get nervous for a good reason. You have big goals. Mm-hmm. You want to do well. You want to do well for yourself, your teammates, and beyond. But what are those goals? If you were to look at your career at the end of these 4 or 5 years or however long you're running in college, what would be your ideal scenario running-wise and goal-wise?
I think that for me, focusing on that too much kind of can make me lose the passion for the moment. So I think that a lot of days it's, you know what, I'm going to get through this week of training and I'm going to enjoy every single run. And as I have little injuries flare up, I have that newfound appreciation for just going for an 8-mile run. And so I think that overall my career running goals, I've found such a passion for the steeplechase. I think it's such a fun race. And especially with my background in wrestling and softball and things like that, it's something that I've really found a lot of joy in and a lot of passion for. And so I would love to see how far I can make it in that throughout my career. If that leads me to nationals, that's really the overall goal. I think that that's most people's goals. And I had a teammate make it to nationals in the steeplechase this year. And so having that training partner has been really, really amazing as I go about continue to further myself along, whether that leads to nationals or whether it leads to regionals next year. But finding that joy along the way of having great people to compete with. Another running career goal would just be to continue to use this platform that I have for the benefit of people other than me. I just love being able to talk to people from other teams or be a calming presence on my team. Sometimes it's not the fastest person who is making the most impact in the moment. It's someone who just is kind of the glue of the team. And I've had teammates like that who they might be injured, but they're absolutely crucial to the team. And so I just think that that's another goal of mine, is to continue to try and be that teammate that everyone wants to have.
So we just looked forward a little bit on what you want to do kind of when your career ends or whatever. Let's look back. Mm-hmm. What's the most memorable race you've ran so far in your career?
That's a tough question. If I had to choose one moment, I would jump all the way back to my senior year in the 1500 state finals. It wasn't actually specifically what happened in that race, although that was a fun experience of just kind of testing my racing capabilities. But prior to that race, one of my best friends and conference rivals, Emma Hoynes, and I grabbed hands and we're ready to pray. And all of a sudden, every single girl in our whole entire field is holding hands in the middle of Drake Stadium and praying together. And I just think that that was the best way I could have ended my high school career, of just figuring out that we're all working hard and we're all working towards the same goals. And this is a sport where you can experience joy in seeing others' success. And so that moment forever is ingrained in my memory as one of the best moments of my high school athletic career.
Yeah, sure. There is only one winner when it comes to a race. It's quite simple. You start and whoever finishes first wins. Mm-hmm. But it's more than that, because everybody has their own specific goal, either mm-hmm. time-wise or place-wise, and all that can happen at once. Like, sure, there can't, like I said, there can't always be more than one winner, but there can always be multiple personal bests, multiple good performances in the same race.
Yeah.
So that is really special about this sport. And it's more than just a state title or something like that. And I like that when you were talking about your goals, it sounded like you still had that frame of mind in reference. And I think it's easier said than done, for sure. But mm-hmm. you were to go back, you were to tell younger Kiki some piece of advice, or just a younger runner. Maybe you have a friend who's just asking, that's still in high school, just starting out running. What would you say to them to kind of help them along their journey?
It's hard, because I think all of us kind of have that type A personality with this. If you're taking it seriously, you see, I need to work hard. Like we said, somebody's working harder than me. But I'd still go back and tell my younger self, like, continue to live in the moment. That's something that Coach Amy Rudolph, who is my head coach at Iowa State, she's a multiple time Olympian, national champion, amazing accolades. But she constantly looks back and is like, I lived in regret for a lot of my career. Two-time Olympian. I, Lord permitting, might make it there, but might not. And so I'd still look back at my younger self and just say, be in the moment and enjoy everything. Like, don't be so cynical of yourself. There are so many small victories, like we said, that you can celebrate and that you can enjoy. And it'll all be over in a blink pretty soon. You'll blink and your high school career is over and you're halfway done with your college career like me. So I just think that those would probably be the two biggest pieces of advice, which are, it's kind of ironic that neither of them have anything to do with training. It's definitely developing so much of your personality and your work ethic far beyond, you know, lacing up your shoes, definitely for your career as well. So
in what ways would you say that it's prepared you? And I guess we haven't shared, what would you like to pursue, if you know that?
Yeah.
What would you like to pursue after running? And in what ways would running help you prepare for that?
The balance that you have to find in order to succeed in this sport is crucial. I try and get 9 hours of sleep at night. That's not something that normal college students do, as well as succeeding in academics and in athletics. It's a demanding job. It is not just 20 hours a week that is the NCAA guideline for it. It's far more, definitely exceeding 30, maybe 40 hours. And so I think that has really prepared me, because sometimes I have to make sacrifices for running, and sometimes I have to make sacrifices for academics. And it has just really taught me to be disciplined in pretty much all facets of life, as well as being able to be disciplined in giving myself grace. That is something that has been the last semester really taught me, is that sometimes, you know what, you might drop the ball, and that's okay. You can succeed even if you drop the ball a couple times. And so I think that figuring out the level of balancing discipline as well as balancing just having some fun and joy throughout the sport, and academics has really taught me a lot that I will carry into my career. I would love to go to PT school, so I'd love to be a physical therapist practicing counter-strain physical therapy. We didn't really touch on it, but I had a physical therapist in high school who kept me healthy the whole time and really inspired me to pursue this career. And then I'd love to do Ironmans after I get done with running professionally if my body still holds up, so that'd be really cool.
We could talk for a long time, and I'm sure we can definitely have you on the show again. I'd like to make this a thing now where my guest nominate someone to be on next. It gives me a little bit of a break for reaching out to people, and it also it makes it possible for the guest to actually choose a guest and see who people actually want to listen to. So before we end, is there anyone in particular who'd you like to hear from?
I would love for Kaylee Logue to be on this podcast. I nominate her.
All right, Kaylee, you're up next. I have a feeling that this is going to be a good one. To conclude this episode, I want to send out a huge thank you to both Kiki Connell for spending some of her time and sharing some of the insights into her journey. I think there's a lot of value in this episode. Also, thanks to the listeners for the ongoing support. And if you guys enjoyed this episode, make sure to leave a review on iTunes or Spotify. And if you want more content like this, go over to Instagram and drop a follow. Until next time, thanks for listening to the Accelerate Performance Lab podcast.